As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
On today's episode of The Glue Guys, we're going to dive deep into that mailbag and talk about the NBA's hottest team over the past two games. Undeniable, the Brooklyn Nets are back.
Yeah, I mean, let's just get right into it. Sorry, I was just thinking about our future. It's so bright. Go ahead. Let's roll it.
Welcome back to The Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Oh, my God. Angelic. Check us out on X. On X. At BK Glue Guys. Check us out on the Discord. Dirty stream. Voicemails. Conversation. Friendship. Lifelong friendships. They're on the Discord. Discord.gg/Glue Guys.
Brian.
The Nets.
That's true.
Bam.
We are actually really back this time.
The Nets are 2-2, baby. They are currently the fourth seed in the NBA Eastern Conference.
It's so dope. It's so tight.
If you project out for the rest of the year, the Nets are either the fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh seed in the East because they're tied with three other teams. Brian, how do you feel about your Brooklyn Nets?
Mike, it's just we're having a ball. We're having a ball. Can I also say that, like, we're having a laser beam. The Mavs game. I don't want to go all the way back to this, but like, I feel like we're really 3-1. I feel like we're 3-1.
Mavs game.
I'm saying I think we're 3-1 because that Mavs game was such a like that was.
I think we're 4-0.
Stupidest.
If you go back to the Cavs game,
I mean, kind of. I didn't want to go there. That's what I felt. I mean, the Mavs game was the stupidest Luka, you know,
so
nonsense
stupid.
I've ever seen. And without that. That nonsense. That's a W for us. I'm putting that in the W. So it's really in the W column for me already. It's 3-1. We're off and running. We have a good team. Things are different.
Should I petition the NBA to review that game? Because like it should be about who deserved the dub.
Yeah.
And the Nets deserve that W. There's no question about that.
There was a satanic ritual or something. Somebody signed someone's soul to the devil because like that was, you know.
Luka's parents absolutely did. Yeah, sure.
Totally.
Of course. They are pagans.
Yeah.
Halloween is their holiday. We have a mailbag episode. We have a fiery, hot mailbag episode. Brian, should we just dive right into the mailbag?
Yeah, let's get right into it. That's first up. Cheer boy. We got Matt Duelka. This is from December. So this is, he just wanted to resend. I like this for the memes. He wanted to resend an email from December 12th, 2022.
God
and
bless
said,
you.
He says, I'm just resending this email. My rookie card is going to make millions. And it's in reference to this email from the 12th of 20, December 12th, 12/12/2022. Says, hi, I own a Cam Thomas rookie card. So maybe this is a bias email. I see all these trade scenarios from Cam Thomas this year, but don't we want to think about next year? Kyrie is probably not coming back. Cam has been a focal point in most games Kyrie has missed. Why don't we think of a way to keep him, to give him a huge role next year as a possible starter? Also, KD loves him. Thanks, love you, and love the show. Matt, rarely do we ever like give somebody the pedestal
that we give ourselves.
That we give ourselves that gilded pedestal. But, you know, you had the receipts and you brought them to the table and, you know, you made it easy for me. And I can't, if, guys, that's how you do the receipts, your own receipts. You resend it a year later. I will acknowledge it if you had the right take. In this case, you know, we might have to eat some crow on our side, Mike. It might be time to do a little mea culpa for Cam Thomas takes of yore. I mean, because
I think I have to do, every week we have a show, every episode we have, it's I'm going to have to apologize.
Yeah.
Apologize deeply. I mean, you know, let's, you know, like I don't want to do this thing because I'm tempted to where he, what was he, 4 for 19?
Yeah, let's not do that thing. Let's not do
yeah,
that thing.
Yeah, because I don't want to do that because that's not fun where like then I become rooting for a bad Cam Thomas game. It's no, like
you want to you
well,
want to get on the bandwagon
that I talked
it's,
about.
It's time to get on the wagon.
Do you know that
the Cam the voice, wagon.
The Cam wagon, the Camry,
the Camry.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
Thank you. A solid family car, just like Cam Thomas. I don't know. I don't. I here's where I'm at with Cam Thomas. When I say I don't know, I mean I don't want to be the guy who's trying to be anti Cam Thomas. What fun is there to be had in trying to prove my take right? Right. We talk about receipts. My receipts are worthless. I have Borders gift cards for I'm on the anti Cam Thomas Borders gift cards plan, and I have nowhere to spend my Borders gift cards.
Can I? Do you know what I don't want to say is? That. Like, we're,
by
we're,
the way, I know you didn't read books as a kid, but
we're leaning into the memes of like we were anti Cam Thomas, which is honestly, if I'm being really honest, and not to rewrite history a little bit, like, but for real, we were always pro Cam Thomas. It's just we always talked about refinement, refining the game, trimming the fat, you know, and like last night's game, like you said, was kind of an example of that, but we're not going to harp on that. That's not exactly what we're here to do. We're excited about, just like everybody else, the growth. But also, can I also caveat this a little
sure.
bit? Because people caveat. Have used this as an example of like, see, Jacques Vaughn was holding Cam Thomas back.
Yeah,
and I
people
always
hate Jacques Vaughn. There's
really,
a large anti.
There's a hate boner for Jacques that is hard to ignore at this moment. But like, at what point do we start giving him credit for like things going well under his purview? Like,
that's not allowed, Brian. we're absolutely not allowed. Like, there's no credit can be given to JV.
We're just supposed to give 19-year-old Cam Thomas the keys to the Ferrari with no pushback, no anything. It's just like we take you for exactly who you are. All of the blemishes included, and we're not going to work on
anything.
Come
as you are. As you were.
Like, I think two years, the guy's 22 years old or thereabouts, and like he's now become potentially like a 30-point-per-game scorer. Like, I mean, I don't. It sounds kind of crazy, but it's possible, I guess.
Yes.
And I think that's – you know, that happened under Jacques Vaughn's watchful eye.
This is the hero's journey, right? Harry Potter wasn't given the Elder Wand in, you know, a Sorcerer's Stone.
No, let's be honest. He couldn't even ride a freaking Nimbus 2000 in episode one.
Cam Thomas was Harry Potter,
yeah.
Is Harry Potter. And if we had Des Lombardo still making our videos, this would be the video that we would make.
Right.
Cam Thomas as Harry Potter. This is him learning his ways through potions, you know, through botany. Right?
Is that how Harry did it? He got through potions? God, what a...
Potions is Snape's class, right?
Yeah.
I think.
I don't know.
That's Snape's.
That's your world, Matt.
Oh my God.
I called you Matt, too.
It's called culture.
Yeah.
What'd you call me?
I called Matt. You Matt. I don't know.
That's my nerd alter ego.
That's actually, when you go full normie, you go into Matt.
Yeah. Cam Thomas is maybe in his Prisoner of Azkaban stage, right? He has a father figure in Jacques Vaughn that's probably going to not be with him for the rest of his time as an NBA player.
Yeah.
This analogy is really working out. And so he just needs that Marauder's map and keep on that invisibility cloak and find his way to the Elder Wand by the end. You know, no spoilers.
Yeah.
Not going to tell you what happens.
Yeah. That sounds good, right? That's a good thing, what you're describing?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The Elder Wand is the most powerful one there is.
Dope.
It's really more Beauty of the Eye of Beholder type thing, though.
Okay.
Speaking of your pro J.K. Rowling stance on... other issues.
What?
No, but sorry. Cam Thomas is awesome. He's incredible. He had a bad game last night. I promise you, all podcast listeners, I will not just to prove my point. Because like our thing, what you're talking about, Brian, is accurate. From the very first summer league of Cam Thomas, this is who we were. Okay, we were like, this is incredible, but there's like a missing component, and I like the missing component is like operating within a team sense. Like passing, like being like a passer who doesn't just throw the ball away.
Not viewing assists as a sign of weakness, which is, I think, what he originally sort of thought an assist was.
Yeah. He's like the Ricky Bobby of basketball players, like first or last.
I haven't seen that either. Jeez, you're hitting on.
What happened to you? Where was your childhood? No Will Ferrell movies.
I believe
and Harry
that
Potter
was like
films?
College age.
Yeah, I was that will.
Yeah,
Robin Hood effect over here. I'm still growing up. By the way, Armani
Peter
Brooks
Pan,
is.
Maybe?
What's that?
I thought you maybe were looking for Peter Pan effect, and you said Robin Hood.
What a loser!
We're crushing it.
Armani Brooks' effective field goal percentage is 1.214, which is impossible.
Yeah,
I mean it's possible, but it's impossible. So pro Cam Thomas. I'm sure we have more questions coming up. Next one up, Ryan.
Okay, wow, great transition. Next up is cheer boy Ryan Blake. Ryan Blake. It's a little
great.
The scene that could be louder on my end. I don't know if that's
okay.
A me thing, but
perfect
for the future. Anyways, Ryan Blake says, "Hey boys, hey Ryan. This team might be my fave Nets team ever. The hot topic on Nets Twitter is, should we trade for Cat?" That's Carl Anthony Towns, not Magneto, my cat who passed away the other day.
Did you want to talk about that?
No, I don't want to talk about that. That's too raw for me to talk about, Mike. And so, but anyways, for anybody who, we've talked about Magneto on the pod before, update, he had a stroke and he died. It's sad.
Why are you laughing?
Because the segue wasn't working, and you weren't doing the willing participant thing. Anyways, you left me out to
hang.
Do
you want to talk about it?
No, it's okay.
Let's talk about it. What was your favorite thing about Magneto? My favorite was when you would hold up Magneto.
He was fluffy.
On the camera.
He was a good buddy. Anyways, I'm nervous about...
It's not your fault.
I know. Brian, I'm nervous about his defense, and I'm not totally... Well, we went straight into talking to Mike. I'm nervous about his defense, and I'm not totally sure...
I love you, Brian.
Stop. You can build a championship-level defense with him at center. But him spacing the floor for Ben and everyone else could be very fun. What's your thoughts? Sorry, I'm laughing.
Cat's got your tongue.
Mike, I didn't know that Twitter was ablaze with talk of trading for Carl Anthony Towns, which sounds to me kind of crazy.
I mean, that discussion's so old that it was like the Jack Dorsey Twitter days.
Wow.
You know, that's so long ago.
Why are you going to do a guy Ryan Blake like that?
No. It's that like cat jersey guy always like linked to the Knicks, Nets. I think this is a larger question, Bri.
Okay.
It's the, do you go all in for some big dude trade? Like, do you like Damian Lillard would not have been right though. Obviously it would be fun to have Damian Lillard on this team, just like he's older. Like, how many more years are you going to get out of him? The rest of the team is pretty young. What would have happened? Cat is young. Mm-hmm. I am completely biased because, you know, I've seen him in person be absolutely devastating, but his teams often haven't been that good. And if he was so good, then wouldn't his teams be better? Right? He's become this guy as like the poster child for being ultra talented, productive, and a loser.
Mm.
Right? Like, loser in the sense of like not a winner. I don't know. Should we thrust deeply back into the thrust deeply?
Go ahead. Thrust wherever you want, man.
I am getting a colonoscopy tomorrow, so I'm thinking that's on my mind. Speaking of farting slips, colonoscopy.
I am tempted to tell the story about how when we, you know, we have our green screen backgrounds for the YouTube, and Mike, knowing
you can say it,
knowing that my cat died recently, it turns on his green screen and it's a picture of his own dog, and he just goes, "I got that dog in me." Just has a picture of his own pet, not 24 hours later.
That's how like.
It was
like,
good.
Like, focus I am on my own life.
It's
like,
such a good meme.
What a jerk. I don't want Cat. Can I say that now? I think we needed...
No,
like,
I don't want him.
We need one more dude. I don't know, but I don't know how to rationalize this. Because, like, so there's a report that came out from... It was whether it's one of those betting places. That the Nets have the second best odds to get Zach LaVine in terms of a trade. Like, Zach LaVine's next home, I think number one is the Sixers, number two is the Nets.
Yeah.
And that excited me. There's something about Zach LaVine on this team that excites me, but Zach LaVine is as much of a loser as Kat. Like, has been his career. And when I say loser, again, I mean like win-loss. I'm not saying like Zach LaVine seems like an absolutely sweetheart of a human.
Yeah.
But so does Kat. Kat seems very nice as well. But so I'm just struggling with, okay, so the beginning of Ryan Blake's email. This is one of his Nets favorite. This might be his favorite Nets team ever.
Yeah, right.
I'm enjoying the hell out of this. Just like a bunch of springy, what is the, fun
what is
dudes.
It about humans that it's like, I love this thing. Now let me break it. Let me break it with love, you know?
Right, right.
Destroy it because I love it so much. Wow.
I want to dig into that deeper.
Yeah.
What's another example of that?
It's every time we like love the team, it's like, but like, let's make it better now and ruin it in
like
the process.
America?
Yeah. Great.
Like our country?
Because I mean,
when was America the best, Brian? What was our peak?
Just kidding.
It was always pretty bad. It was pretty great.
I would say that the Zach LaVine tweet that you posted too did get like a pretty serious like backlash. Or not backlash, but a lot of people were just like, no, screw that. Like, we hate that. Which is interesting because I like the general temperament of like, let's all see what we got here. You know, like, let's just take a second because it is still early. I know we're all excited and I don't want to dampen that, but it is still early and I do want to see what we got, you know? But it is like the compulsion to then be like, okay, now if it's good, let's make it way better and like try to trade up for a star player. I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like those are not the right names. Like, those might be diminishing return type star players as we've discussed, but the principle is an interesting one of doing that. And as you know, I've gotten addicted to the feeling of just courting star players via free agency without giving up anything in return. And that, until further notice, will be my favorite way to onboard good players.
Well, and this, I was going to Hoops Hype to look up like what the latest is on salaries and all that stuff. And the big fat headline is Zach LaVine not to be traded anytime soon. I don't even know where that report comes from, because when you click on it, it doesn't like take you there. But the thing to know about Zach LaVine and Karl-Anthony Towns is that they have absurdly massive, gigantic contracts. Like, Zach LaVine is signed up for this season and two more, averaging around $43 million a year, and then has a player option of $49 million a year after that. Karl-Anthony Towns is, oh my God. His new contract kicks in next year, and it starts at $52 million, then $56 million, then $61 million, and then a player option in 2027 at $65 million. Now, yeah, the cap's going to go up and blah, 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 and like, how great. But like, that's what scares the shit out of me, is that like, this team is not going to win a championship. Like, understood. Understood. But what our star hunting last generation was Kevin Durant and Kyrie. As much as I have problems with Kyrie, like, he's better than Zach LaVine and Karl-Anthony Towns. Now, those people play basketball games. But anyway, so it's just like, I don't feel like I'm ready yet.
Okay.
I just want to put the pause button on big
trades.
Let's
put the pause. Let's put the pause and let's press play on this next email from Cheerboy Caleb Neasley. We'll go with that. Neasley. Maybe Nicely. Could be Caleb Nicely. Anyways, he says, or she says, they say, hey, glue guys, hope you guys had a good Halloween. My question is, have we seen Cam Thomas begin to take over the league? Sorry, we have seen Cam Thomas begin.
Every time you're learning to read again.
I know. Well, I have to crane my neck over here.
Just
and it is,
read the word.
The text is small on my screen.
It is.
It's on a different screen. my question is, we have seen Cam Thomas begin to take over the league for 3 out of 4 games of the season. With that being said, because it's framed in a weird way. That's not the question, right? It doesn't end in a question mark. So
I understand.
You understand?
It's a little difficult.
With that being said, besides last night, we have seen McHale kind of take a step back.
Yes,
do you think this will become the new normal with Cam being quote unquote the guy and McHale taking a step back? Where do you think Cam's ceiling is? Love the pod. Go Nets.
Units. So first, let me ask you, Brian.
Yeah.
What is Cam's ceiling?
I'll be interested to see what this next little phase of life is for Cam, because there are interesting picadillos about his game, and we in the Discord went over them in great detail, I want to say. A lot of the stat lords in the – I mean, if you want high-level basketball analysis, really do hit up discord.gg/glueguys, because you'll find a community of big-brain thinkers in there. And they were going over the shot charts of Cam Thomas year over year pretty extensively. Very noteworthy is he has very serious declines on the right side of the floor, shooting-wise, all over the place. And I'm just going to be interested to see now that the docket is out, the dossier on Cam Thomas, it's everywhere. BuzzFeed, published it in totality. The dossier is out. And how do teams now plan for the Cam Thomas experience? He had a very difficult time last night, in particular, against a team who notoriously kind of scouts for these things. I don't know if that's related or not, but I'll be interested to see Cam now that the story is out that he's maybe the next guy or could be quote unquote the guy on this team, how they plan for that. The McHale step back is an interesting thing. McHale does not seem to want to wrest the guy title back from Cam in any meaningful way, at least not in the first four games here. So I'm finding it a very he doesn't want that kind of primacy on this team. As far as I can tell. So the 26 points per game average from last season, he does not seem to want to have that back. And why that is, I don't know. And he's like, I miss being a role player, and Cam have your thing.
I kind of appreciate that about Bridges. I mean, he's having a nice season still. He is not necessarily the prince that was promised, right? He's not going to lead us. He is more of a Ron Weasley. He's not a Harry Potter, to go back to your favorite analogy. He's there to support, there to help. Very crucial. Can step. He's not a Neville Longbottom.
He feels like more.
Don't you dare, Brian. Don't you dare call him a Neville Longbottom. He is not that.
Okay.
But he is certainly a Ron Weasley. Do you agree or disagree?
I think he's more like a Hermione. Hermione actually pulls your weight. Ron kind of falls backwards up into.
Good for you, Bri.
I've seen some movies.
I don't know. That is there's a vacuum of who's the guy, and Cam loves being the guy. And I think McHale opts to being a dude as opposed to the guy. And the difference between the guy and a dude. A dude is someone who has friends, and the guy is someone who just does not have friends, but just snipes an unreal amount of shots.
It's the difference between a Sigma male and an Alpha male is what you're getting at.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. And we have a lot of Sigmas. There's a lot of Sigmas on this team. There's very few Alphas.
Yeah.
And Cam is Alpha Supreme. Is Alpha squared.
Actually, I think he's more Sigma. I think he's a vestige. Sigmas are they go their own way. They're so alpha that they don't even socialize with other people. So the Kevin Durant and Kyrie's were definitely Sigmas. And he's, I think, born of that Sigma epoch in Nets history. And it's good to have a little bit of Sigma energy, in the right dose. We were talking about this on the stream last night, the dirty stream. It is really helpful to have at least one top level foul grifter on an offense.
Yes.
Which Cam Thomas is a good foul grifter. He does the thing. It's very Sigma male behavior to do that because everyone hates it.
Have you noticed that he's shooting 82% from the free throw line, but his free throws, he's been missing more free. He was a 90% free throw guy. Well, I guess he was 87 last year, so it wasn't that dramatically different. I just remember him being so automatic, and him.
It's a little early still. And also, he's good.
Should I not raise the alarm?
And it's also if going with what you're saying, he is playing a lot more minutes. Which generally, if you put more minutes, more miles on the tire, the free throw percentage could dip a little. I don't know.
It's going to be really good for him. So, there's a crazy stretch coming up for the Nets where they play the Celtics twice, the Bucks, and the Clippers.
Oof.
Yeah. And it's going to be brutal. Thank God they're winning these two. They've won these past two games because, it's hard to imagine them coming out very successful in that stretch. But, what happened last night against a very smart defensive team like Miami is they guarded him differently. They guarded McHale. They sent doubles at McHale. They sent some doubles at Cam. And it affected Cam Thomas significantly last night. Now, thank God the team has Lonnie Walker and Armani Brooks to step up. But, like, it's going to be very interesting to see how Cam evolves, if he evolves at all. He'll need to grow to live, you know?
Well, grow to live.
Grow to live. There we go. Next one up.
Wait, I wanted to say one more thing, but then I forgot. Next up, cheer boy, that's Ryan Newman, a.k.a. D-Bronx, 1414 on the Discord. Shout out to the Discord. He says, hello. The Nets are fun and competitive again. Wow. The only thing dampening my mood is the constant Jacques Vaughn complaining on the interwebs. Call me crazy, but I think the guy deserves credit for getting this band of wily rascals rumbling, bumbling, and stumbling their way to competent basketball despite a laundry list of adversity through just 2 short weeks. What are the glue guys' thoughts on Jacques through 4 games? Mike, how's that for an email being read? Okay.
I was proud of you. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, when it's written right, I can, you know, I don't have to talk about stumbling, fumbling, you know.
My level of Jacques Vaughn-ness right now is like he's in the acceptable tier of coaches. Like Steve Nash, bad. Lionel Hollins, bad. Jason Kidd, good, bad. Like sometimes good, sometimes bad. Mm. There's extremes there. Jacques is acceptable. And like, I think which coach is going to make anyone happy? What coach in the NBA would make anyone here in Nets land very, very happy? I don't think there's a single coach. Mark Degnault,
yeah,
of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Is that your guy? Will Hardy of the Utah Jazz? Nick Nurse? No.
Yeah, no.
I mean, like, in the end, like, even, like, Ty Lue, who is thought of as being one of the better coaches in the NBA, like, there are things he doesn't do great with the Clippers at times. Spoelstra seems to be about the only bulletproof coach, and that's kind of... that's an expectations thing at this point because the team constantly rises above expectations, but they're 1-4.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not perfect.
They're not perfect.
And they let Jaime Jaquez, the rookie from UCLA, shoot 12 open threes and he missed every single one. It was really like 9, but still. So, yeah. Like, I think he's acceptable. Like, there's things that he does well. I think he is a good manager of people. I think he is willing to be flexible with his lineup. But, you know, there's the end of game situation against Cleveland. Like, that sucked. And there are things that just, it's not perfect. I'm fine with it. What are we going to do? Fire him and get, who are we going to get? Who's the guy?
Yeah, I don't.
Doc Rivers? Get out of here.
I don't really understand. I mean, like, I understand it. Like, this is kind of a certain kind of fan. They need a lightning rod. I mean, I'm kind of that way. You know, I'll like chirp it at the TV for certain players and things like that. And it's just like all of your ire is focused on one thing and you can't get past it. And it's when your lesser angels take over, Mike. It's, you know, the little goblin on your shoulder starts to overpower. And all of a sudden you're just like screaming at Jacques Vaughn for no reason. You know, that's sort of how I feel. Because you got to have some kind of lightning rod every season. And for a lot of people, they just have a bad taste in their mouth from the Jacques Vaughn previous period. But also, like, you know, in terms of, I don't know, I'd be interested to see what, like, any of those film, what do they do, the film review guys, like any of those, like the Lucas Kaplans and Matt Brooks of the world.
A.O. Scott? Bill Gabiri?
Yeah, the Bill Gabiris. No, you know what I'm talking about, the guys who do the film the articles on Nets Dailies. Yeah. No, yeah. Lucas Kaplan. Now, shout out to Lucas Kaplan. I've been looking at those. And what they think of Jacques Vaughn in terms of just like what he's running, because, you know, obviously when you're watching games on stream and you've got one eye on chat, I'm not keyed into the Princeton offense necessarily. But like those are the types of things where where it's like, okay, like if there's, you know, real obvious, like we're not maximizing certain things that we could, then fine. But as far as I'm concerned, the rotation is like, we're experimenting still. We're in this, like, you know, we're going pretty deep. We have Jalen Wilson and Trent Watford playing big minutes last night, you know?
Kind of like,
I like Watford
a little bit. I mean, obviously, like Armani Brooks, but I like Watford's just nice presence.
It's a nice presence. Nice.
7'1" wingspan.
Oh, come on. Like, and he can feel every
little thickness.
It seems pretty thick. But yeah, so like things like that, and like the timeouts were timely, things like that, where it's like the obvious thing where it's like, you know, when you're kind of just yelling at the TV stuff, that seems to pass the test. So I don't know. I think the people that are hating on Jacques Vaughn just have a bad taste in their mouth from the politics era of the KD Kyrie stuff, which we're not going to talk about, Mike, because that's in the past. We don't talk about it anymore. And next up, cheer boy, we have Michael E. Lee. I think it's such a move to go with Ely for anything, but anyways. It says, hi, Glue Guys. Question for the pod. With the injuries, the Nets rotations have been all over the place and everyone has been contributing. What do you see as the ideal rotations given the four games we've seen so far?
God, it's tough.
That's tough.
It's tough. I mean, like literally, again, like the little Watford, like Armani Brooks, like how could you not play him? Like I've liked... That's the thing about this season is that I've liked so much of what I've seen. You know, it's so the core group of Bridges, Cam, Royce O'Neal, Ben Simmons, Dorian Finney-Smith, Claxton, Cam Johnson, and Dinwiddie. That's eight. Those are eight core. And whether like, you know, I think Royce O'Neal's been playing pretty well so far this year. That'd be like the fringy guy. But then Lonnie Walker, I've loved. Absolutely love Lonnie Walker.
From game one, I just want to put it out there. I was real early on the Lonnie train.
Yeah, he's been awesome. I mean, he's shooting 47% from three, and I think a lot of those are pull-ups.
That's going to be consistent all season long. We're keeping it hovering around 47.
I mean, so there's a lot of guys on this team that now – so what I think mostly about this roster construction is this is Sean Marks's comeback season. Because – during the KD Kyrie era, which I will not talk about, we signed a bunch of bums, bunch of old gluey bums.
Yeah, not gluey.
Gluey
not
in terms
gluey.
Of their legs gluey. Were stuck together with glue.
Not that, different kind of glue.
Yeah, but now he this is the Sean Marks that we remember pre KD Kyrie, which is like a lot of interesting guys. Like I like Dennis Smith Jr. I know he's never going to be a good scorer, but defensively you see it. You see like. Sub Jrue Holiday like defensive ability.
Yeah.
Trended Watford. Watford's got length and, you know, like he had good 3-point shooting numbers last year. I'm in. Dayron, you know, like you look at the minutes per game, Dayron gets about 10 minutes per game. I don't hate the Dayron minutes. I don't know. He's where
big,
are you with
big
the,
improvement?
The sharp time?
And can we just talk Mono? Like his body is totally transformed. He looks like a different guy out there. So credit to that. But his hands,
he must be doing the 30-30-30 diet. Have you heard of that one?
No, I haven't. What is that?
You within 30 minutes of waking up, you eat 30 grams of protein, and then you walk for 30 minutes. That's it.
How hard is it to get 30 grams of protein? What does that look like?
That looks like eggs are out of the question. Like eggs are not going to get, you have to eat like
steak. You're just eating a steak.
You're basically eating a T-bone steak.
Okay.
Every morning. No, it's like, you know, like a cup of Greek yogurt with some peanut butter in it. It's oatmeal with a ton of protein powder.
Okay.
It's an absurd amount, but it's a TikTok diet.
Okay.
It's basically it's the antithesis of the intermittent fasting people.
Yeah, this seems like going really zagging for that zig.
Yeah, because the idea of it, and I'll talk to Dayron about this if he wants to, is that you get energy in the morning from your protein and you'll be more satiated throughout the rest of the day, meaning you're not going to eat as much and you have that base of protein to fuel your body.
Wow.
And, you know, protect yourself, and the walking like is just like, hey, you're, like
you gotta move.
We're body. All lazy people, just walk.
True.
So, well, what's the core group here?
Cool. So what were we talking about? So Dayron having a little bit of a resurgence. Those 10 minutes you said it feels more like feels longer than 10 minutes. Last couple of games have been longer than that.
That's what I thought, but I'm looking at Basketball Reference's 9.5 minutes per game.
Really interesting that it feels.
And he's played it all four games. Longer.
I mean, he's definitely an improvement. I don't know if it's the kind of improvement that I'm you know, going to start being over the moon about. He's still a little bit of a point of fixation for me, but I've liked his minutes. And his body's, you know, obviously a different guy. Wait, did we – what are we talking about? What was the whole context of this?
We're basically trying to figure out the core group. I mean, what's weird is that Cam has played one game and Nick Claxton has played one game.
Yeah.
And so at times we're playing Dorian Finney-Smith at center, you know, and so we're – because, again, DFS is like getting those a lot more minutes at center over Dayron.
Yeah.
While Nick Claxton is out. Or like Ben Simmons kind of – actually, he doesn't really even play center.
He doesn't. And he also like – I kind of see it because like occasionally when he gets mismatched onto like Bam Adebayo, like he's like – he stays with them, but the contest doesn't really like – I don't know. He's not that good of a post defender. Maybe I'll eat crow on that take, but I like him a lot. I mean, obviously he's more like a 1-4. He's not necessarily 1-5 defense, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So, I mean, to me, it is like that line, like let's say this mix of Bridges, Cam Thomas, Ben Simmons, DFS, Claxton and Cam Johnson and Dinwiddie are going to get the bulk of your minutes. Royce O'Neal, Lonnie Walker are going to get a decent chunk. And then so who I'm leaving out is Dennis Smith Jr., Trendon Watford, or Monty Brooks, who may be the best player on this team. I mean, like, you know, like Lonnie's going to get a bunch of minutes too. Yeah, it'll be interesting how it shakes out because the Dayron thing is a real thing. Like, if he needs to continue to grow because he's the only backup center we have. And I think there is a smart calculation by Jacques that, like, truly, what's the difference between DFS at center and Dayron? It's like an inch in height.
Yeah.
And now that Dayron's on the 30-30-30 diet, it's not been confirmed, but I'm just extrapolating.
Yeah.
He's basically the same weight as DFS.
It is a weird, we were talking about this last night, compositionally, it's weird to have a team where, like, your best scoring threats are kind of all clinging to an NBA career. Like, it's sort of all, like, pretty fringe bench guys. And I'm talking about, like, Armani Brooks and Lonnie Walker, guys like that, you know. With all due respect, but, like, you know, Armani Brooks has got a flamethrower, but also he's, like, pretty deep on a bench that – on a team that's, like, kind of middling. It's just a weird composition because, like, all of our, like, main rotation guys, but for, like, maybe Spencer and I guess McHale are, like, just not really offensive-minded dudes. They can do it. Like, Royce can, like, parachute in and, like, you know, playmake for a player or two, but it's not their normal modus operandi, Mike. And it's weird. It's an interesting way to build a team.
Do you think we need to make, like, a 2-for-1 trade?
I just think, like, we need to, like, lean into the fact that we have this meme team. And I think Jacques is doing it. He's like, look, we're just going to play Armani Brooks. And I know he's, like, just a crazy meme player for this moment where he just comes in and shoots 2 threes automatically. First thing he does every game, just is going to do that thing. But, like, until proven otherwise, if it's working, like, let's let it rip.
I love it. I'm here.
Next up.
Oh, sorry.
Cheer boy. This is Jonathan Andrews. Says, hello, guys. Glue Nation stand up. Standing. Actually, we're sitting. Since we've taken the crown / mantle / belt directly from Miami as the toughest team to put away, do you see that never say die mentality becoming our cultural bedrock? I like the defense, the cohesion, the immaculate vibes, the transition, scoring, and all. Could this be our new thing? In Jacques, we trust. Wow, Jonathan. Oh,
coming Jonathan's on the Jacques team.
Other way with that. You know what's interesting? And we talked about this at some length, is that the Nets have a very good offensive rating. I didn't check it out after last night. And a very bad defensive rating, sort of paradoxically, over the first three games.
Offensive rating is 6th. Defensive rating is 23rd.
Currently?
So there you go.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's not what we predicted, Mike. All the best basketball minds did not see that coming.
Yeah, I mean, like, we played Charlotte and LaMelo had a terrible game.
You shut up right now. This is we're an offensive powerhouse, Mike. What are you talking about?
This is the same vibes the team had before the superstars got to the team. Tough, you know, playing the right way, sharing the ball. Like, way more, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it feels like the ball moves at a better rate besides Cam Thomas than the KD Kyrie teams, which makes sense, of course, trying to find the open shot. again, why I like Lonnie Walker is like he's one of the few guys that can kind of get hit their own bucket in a way where like we're kind of there's a lot of times on offensive possessions we're just kind of throwing the ball around. The never say die mentality, I mean, like we are just missing a Jimmy Butler piece to be very dangerous, right? Mm. Like not to be finals dangerous, and like even though I poo-pooed Kat and LaVine early on, I don't put them, they are two players that played with Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler has absolutely buried for being losers. Keep saying losers, I don't know why. We just need a closer though. Like we would be 4-0 if we had that dude, if we had a bro who was.
And it's interesting that Cam hasn't he will eventually be like, this is my job, I will do this thing, this difficult thing that we all need me to do. Just get those fouls in the fourth quarter. Just keep trolling for fouls. That's ultimately what that looks like in today's NBA, Mike.
It is so difficult to trust Cam, even though Cam has probably had more like game winners than like James Harden in his career. It's just that like the shots that Cam ends up taking are so absurdly bad.
Yeah.
That, I mean, but he hits them at a 50% rate.
We talked about this, like he needs to hit at least like two stupid shots back to back for it to like trigger the insanity like thing. But like when those two, if he can't get those two shots, like one after the other, the whole process looks really ugly. But once he hits the two dumb shots back to back, it's like, it's on. So it's worth it to just like, you know, watch him sort of try to click that into gear.
I'm interested to see how this team builds, Brad.
Shout out to Sean Goodfriend, who wrote us a mammoth and very thoughtful email and very kind email, but it is virtually unairable, and I think he knows that, but it's a good email nonetheless. I think that's it, Mike. I think we got to all of them. There's a couple that we couldn't get to, but
I still want voicemails, people. That like,
yeah, I need to set that up in the system a little bit better.
In the GG?
Yeah, I gotta like cue. I gotta remember to notify people to put the things in there after the game, though.
Do you know what's special about this game on Friday against the Bulls, Brian?
What's special?
It's the first game of the in-season tournament. Are you fired up?
Dude, I am still like, I'm just like, every time I'm like, really, there's no impact about this, like towards anything like championship. Like the whole reason for the NBA is to like win a championship, and this doesn't affect that in any capacity. Is that what I'm to understand? There's no benefit to winning this.
There's money. I think they get money.
Yeah, that's right. That's I'm rooting for somebody else to cash a check. It's, I don't know. They do that a lot, I feel like, in the NBA.
I think it, you know. Listen, I'm going to try to be engaged with the process. It's a game. It's like a normal game. There's nothing.
Does it count towards our normal win losses? Like that's, it's just gonna,
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
That's really all I care about. Yeah.
And the thing that'll be different is, I don't know if you saw this, though, each team will be playing on like a special court, like a specially designed court that'll have like the symbol of the in-season tournament trophy in the middle of it. So that we viewers at home knows that this moment is special.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I will end up caring. I don't know if that will make me excited.
They've done a lot here tournament to make this feel not important. I will say that it's going to be really, it already is difficult for me to like want to make things important that
in any part of your life.
Yeah, right. And if there's, if what everything that I've heard is true, this is going to feel very unimportant to me, Mike. I can already tell.
The only way that would make me feel like very locked into it is if they did it like they would stop at some point in the middle of the season. They would do the tournament in like a bubble environment where all the teams are in a single location, maybe like the moon. If they were all sent to the moon for lunar basketball, and then there was like a Big Brother type reality show.
Okay.
About what that was like, if it felt like a cultural, yeah, coming together of all the NBA into one area, like, you know, I don't know if you're into like, I think this is how it worked in Mortal Kombat, where like they would all come together and fight. you know, from different ends of the galaxy or something. I don't really remember.
I don't remember.
Did you watch the Mortal Kombat movie?
But I remember them having to travel to the same, to like there was a centralized location. They all came from different places on like a plane or like a boat, and then they got to that place. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I like, mean, it's Street like- Fighter was more spread out. Street Fighter was like you would go to like Sri Lanka, right? Or you would go to the Bronx. I think the Bronx was one. If there was like a central location where all the NBA players are at, and then like kind of like Squid Game.
Okay.
You know, if it was like an NBA Squid Game, I guess I'd be more into it. The fact that it's just in the regular rhythms of a humdrum NBA season, it's going to be hard for me to get locked in, Bri. It's going to be hard for me to like.
I'm right there with you, buddy. Yeah, I wish there was some ability like you get, you start off like, you skip the first round of the playoffs. Like something, give me something big here. Like give me, you know, I won the in season tournament, like skip me to the second round.
Or how about this? You get, if you win the in season tournament, you get to pick one player from the non-playoff teams to join your team during the playoff run.
Something hilarious like that. Something stupid like that. Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Because, like, if the Spurs don't make the playoffs, you'd be like, that'd Victor be Wembanyama. Yeah. And it would just be for that season, like that playoff run. It wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be in perpetuity. Wow. But it would be, you get Victor Wembanyama for your playoff. And how great would Wemby be with Ben Simmons?
Wow. Let's win it. Let's win it all, Mike.
All right. Check us out on X at BKGlueGuys, netsdaily.com.
Discord.gg/glueguys. Join us for the dirty stream. We stream games at night when they happen, because they happen at night here on the East Coast. All right, Mike, we're out of here.
Bye.
Bye.